Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. Today we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, on the theme of Jesus Christ's birth. This sermon, which was originally preached on Christmas Day, sets forth in its first part, which Dr. Beakey has already preached, the glory of Christ's birth, but also the humility of Christ's birth, and how in that mixture of glory and humility, we have an image of the very gospel itself, as God comes down to man. Now, in the second part, Dr. Beakey will speak of the joy of Christ's birth, which is the joy of salvation, the joy of God Himself.
Now, we're so used to hearing the story about the angels and the shepherds that we see the nostalgicness of it, but we don't really stop and think too often, do we, that angels and shepherds don't naturally belong together. Shepherding, sorry to say, was considered the lowest of all occupations in that day. In the Talmud, we read that shepherds were not even allowed to give testimony in courts. They were such a despised group of people. And yet this infant child, destined to be a carpenter for most of his life, first sends angels to shepherds. So how do we solve this mystery of the contrast of a glorious birth with such a humble genealogy, such a humble parentage, such a humble city, such humble clothing, and such a humble place? Well, the answer is simply is this. God is showing us in the reality of this contrast the character of the gospel. That Jesus has come lower than the lowest to declare that he delights to save sinners and publicans. He makes his stable his home and beasts his companions to show that there is room in him for people who feel like Asaph, who said, I am as a beast before thee. And so at this lowly crib of the Christ child, we may see both how awful sin is, but also how glorious salvation is, that Jesus was willing to become, as it were, a child among the beasts for a beastly people. The Lord of glory, who owns all the cattle upon a thousand hills, is not ashamed to take up his lodging in a stable. So that you and I might understand that our problem in coming to him is never, never, never that he is too high for us, but that he is too low for us. And we don't want to stoop, and we don't want to confess our sin. Here is a poor infant for poor people, born in a poor, doorless place, for the lowest of the low, so that the greatest of sinners do not even have to open a door. There is no door on a stable. They are welcome to come in to meet the born King of Bethlehem. No one is shut out from this lowly manger in Bethlehem. No one can say, there is no room in a stable for me. The reality of Jesus' birth is that everyone is welcome. Everyone who hears the gospel is called, invited, allured, commanded to come to the born babe of Bethlehem. And so the fact that Jesus is born in the reality of such poverty is God's declaration, this man receiveth sinners. And so when you or I ever have that dastardly, God-dishonoring thought entering into our mind that Jesus won't receive us because we've sinned too much or we're too hard or we're too old or we're too this or we're too that, That is straight from the bottom of hell. That is not godly humility or godly piety. That is straight from the bottom of hell. The gospel, in its contrast, in the very birth of Jesus, the glory of it and the humility of it, says that you are welcome in this stable. You are welcome with Jesus Christ. And it says that a sin-laden people are still drawn to the ends of time with the cords of everlasting love through the doors of that stable by the Holy Spirit to behold the Savior and the Mediator and to break out with joy when we see this man receives not only sinners, but me. He receives me as well. Christ came down from heaven to bring his people to heaven. He came to lie in the manger that we may one day be with him in heavenly paradise. So you have this stupendous contrast. Great glory. Real glory. Great poverty. Real humility. But then you also have the reality of profound joy in the midst of this glory, humility, contrast. The shepherds go and see, and they come back. And verse 20 says, they return glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And what was told unto them? The angels told it to them and said, to you there shall be in this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord, born to you. And they are tidings, good tidings of great joy. And verse 20 tells us this great joy was reality for the shepherds. They came, they saw, they believed, they testified with their own eyes. They saw the Lord is come, the Messiah is born. Their joy is reality. And so ours must be as well. And it may be. If you by faith come through the open doors of this stable, you too may know the joy of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. Oh, the joy of finding this Savior to fit our every need. Like a glove fits a hand. He's the perfect Savior. There's nothing he's left undone. Consider what a ground for joy this humble birth is. The Lord comes not in accord with what any man would design, but in a way that refutes all human wisdom. No one can make this story up. No other religion in the world has a story that even begins to compare to this one. That God becomes man and God comes low in order to bring great joy to sinners, the great joy of his salvation. Verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. The angel says, not a Savior. Well, the indefinite article is added here to have it make sense in English. But actually, in Greek, it's just this. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior. There is no other. He's not just a Savior among other Saviors. Savior born, the Savior of all ages, which is Christ, the anointed, the Lord, the possessor, the master. This is cause for great joy. And the message comes to all people, verse 10 says, and when the other angels join in, they say, it is glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. It's God's good pleasure. That's the Old Testament term. God's electing love. God's good pleasure of him that dwelt in the burning bush, the good pleasure of him who gave his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has now come to bring full salvation through Jesus Christ to sinners. And he offers it freely to all who hear the gospel to deliver sinners from their own deserved death, to incline their wills, to make them willing in the day of his power. Fear not, shepherds, because I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You know, every word of this message is so rich. Unto you, they felt the reality of its personalness. It wasn't just third person. It was you. This day, it's a present reality. Savior, saving Savior, promised Savior, anointed Savior, Christ, almighty Savior, the Lord, is brought to you. Willing Savior, willing to come, to die, to suffer for sinners. And you shall find him. You shall find the reality of this joy in Bethlehem. You shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. And the shepherds say, we must go right away. They came with haste. They drop everything. We need to see this Savior. We need to know this Savior. We need to have the reality of this Savior. They go. They go. They don't just hear about him. They must find him. They must find him by grace. And they do. And they're filled with joy. They're filled with wonder. They're filled with worship. God's anointed is now not just a symbol. God's anointed now is not just a promise. God's anointed is reality. They've seen him. They believe in him. And the beauty is that they believe in him when there's nothing that the human eye could see in him to distinguish him from any other baby. There's no halo over his head, contrary to all the pictures that show one. There's nothing special. In fact, it's the opposite. He's in a feeding bin. He's in lowly Bethlehem. But the angels, the angelic message resonates in the heart of the shepherds. And when they go and they find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, as the angel said, they know this is him. And with the eye of faith, they believe this is the King of the universe. This is the Savior of the world. This is the born babe King of Bethlehem. And their hearts are filled with joy. And so it's the same today. We don't see him literally yet with our physical eyes. But the physical eye of the shepherd, looking at that baby in Bethlehem, if they didn't have faith at that moment, they would have said, this is him? A little baby with nothing special? Actually, just born in poverty? To a teenage girl? Of the low class? But they had eyes of faith. And today we have something even greater. We have the Word of God. We have the full declaration. They stood before the cross. They didn't see the cross yet. We know the cross. We've seen it. We've heard it. And by the eye of faith, we believe it. And as we do, you see, the joy of salvation fills us and overflows us. And Jesus becomes 100% Savior. And everything else is 0% Savior. This is the good news. This is the glad tidings. To you, friend, today is born Savior, Christ the Lord. Come by the grace of the Spirit into the empty, or into the doorless stable, and behold him. And by faith, believe in him. One day there will be an empty sepulcher because he's risen and the work is done. And your joy will be not just in a born babe, but in a resurrected Lord and one coming again. It's all one package in Jesus. He's total Savior, Christ the Lord. You know, when you come as a sinner to this Savior, and you know you deserve only death and hell, and you come to understand that he's taken over all your death and hell and given you all his righteousness so that his righteousness exceeds your sinfulness, it is absolutely overwhelming. God can reveal that to you more gradually, more suddenly, but the joy of it is overwhelming. He, for me, Creator of the universe, would be born, suffer, and die for me, a hell-worthy sinner? Yes, that's reality. That's the gospel. And when the Spirit, you see, opens it up for us, and we see everything is in Jesus, then we understand what Paul said, he is my all and in all. For me to live, Christ. To die, gain. Gain because I'm in Christ. Now the time is coming. And let me bring this to a conclusion. The time is coming when the angels will sing again. When they will appear in stupendous glory once more. Thousands times 10,000s will break open the heavens once more. But at the center will now not be the born babe, but will be the ruling king, the judge of heaven and earth. And he will come on the clouds, surrounded, the Bible tells us, by thousands times tens of thousands of holy angels. And if you're a believer in that day, that joy, that real joy, will be everlasting. Without a moment of hesitation, without ever being taken away from you. It will be everlasting, perfect, utopian joy to be with Jesus forever. But if you're not a believer, it'll be the opposite. Everlasting sorrow. Everlasting sorrow. Because you've rejected your whole life the Lamb of God, the King, the Savior. And why? Why do so many reject this Savior? Well, maybe for some of you, it just seems like it promises too much. It promises too much, the gospel. It's too good to be true, you say. Too much has been done for sinners who want to do something for themselves. Sometimes you see that with people, right? You just cannot give them something. They don't want to be receivers. They want to be givers. They want to contribute to everything. But in the gospel, you have to learn to be a receiver because it's all done for you. Yes, it will change your whole life. Yes, the love of it will produce gratitude in you that will turn your life upside down. But you can't merit anything with God. Others say, well, it promises too much, too freely. It seems too easy. That's what Naaman said when they said, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. He said, what do you mean? I've got other rivers to dip in. I can do it my way. But finally, his servants persuaded him. They said, why don't you try it? Yes, it's humbling to go to Little Jordan rather than the big rivers of Syria. But you see, that's what I say to you this morning. It's humbling to stoop to the lowly level of this Savior. But why don't you try it? You're a sinner. He's the only one who can save you. Stoop. Yes, he promises everything freely. Yes, that goes against the grain of our nature that wants to merit things or wants to have some credit for it. But you see, that's the point of the gospel. You're saved completely by Jesus. Well, you're not saved at all. Try it. Bow before him. Confess your sins. Ask him for faith, to trust in him alone for salvation. Ask him to make Christianity reality within you. Yes, you say, but I'm so unworthy. But that's exactly who he came for. Yes, but why would he ever look at me? You know, Spurgeon addresses that in one of his sermons. People say, why me? You know what Spurgeon said? Why not you? Are you not a sinner? He came for sinners. Why would you stay away when you're a sinner? Christianity is reality. Come just as you are, as a sinner, to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the glory of heaven points us to that stable, points us to where Jesus is wrapped in swaddling clothes, where God kept his promise that he would send his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should be saved and have everlasting life. So you allow your soul no rest, no rest, until you have tasted something of the reality, of the glory, the humility, and the joy of the born King Babe of Bethlehem. Amen. Gracious God, we thank thee so much for thy Son. We thank thee so much for the glory, the humility, the joy of his birth, and that through him there is total salvation in thee and with thee. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Lord, we thank thee that Jacob's ladder is now firmly planted on this earth through God coming down and man going up and angels in attendance upon both. We thank thee that the seed of the woman has come and that thou hast taken our side against the old serpent and knocked at our doors and come in. And we do pray, Lord, for all thy people, that they would receive thee afresh this day by renewal with great joy. But also we pray for the unsaved, that they would no longer despise Bethlehem, no longer pass it by, that they would come and see the place where the young child lay, that they would come through the open doors of the manger and see the Lamb for a burnt offering, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh God, please help us to bow, to stoop, to receive the gospel, and make us evangelists of this gospel, and seal to our hearts the wonderful reality of the born King of Bethlehem, in its glory, in its humility, and in its joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live.